I'll do, please. All sit down. A lot safer sat down, yes. So, can we have the next one, please? No, back. That one, yes. Missed that one. Yes. So, we've started looking at John's Gospel. We started last week. And there's a really big question in John's Gospel, which runs all the way through the Gospel. And it's a very simple one: who is Jesus? Now, it's quite clear that John's not in any particular doubt on this. He starts off his gospel with this wonderful passage that we're all so familiar with about the Word and Jesus clearly being the Word. So John is in no doubt, and he finishes his gospel with a couple of personal testimonies as well. So you're in no doubt. But what John is concerned with is not so much what he himself believes, but what the rest of us believe, what you and I believe. And he's also obsessed with the number seven, but don't worry about that. And he goes on to give us quite a few stories of what happens, or what happened, when people met Jesus. And he's careful to recount what they thought of Jesus. And some of these opinions are not so positive. The Pharisees, Pilate, of course, was puzzled by Jesus and didn't come to any clear conclusion. But many others came to various conclusions about who Jesus is. And John passes all of this on to us. And some of it is quite detailed, like the man who was born blind and has his sight restored. There's a very long discussion of who Jesus is, how could he do this, and what are the implications of it. We get much more of that in John's Gospel than we do in the other Gospels, and the message from John is clear, that he wants us to make up our minds. And if you look through the second part of the first chapter of John, you'll see that he introduces several people to Jesus, and we think it's possible that the unnamed second disciple in the passage we read today could have been John himself. We don't really know, but obviously John met Jesus at this early stage anyway. So we start off with John the Baptist, and you remember that John the Baptist says that Jesus is the Lamb of God. And then we have these next two disciples who call him Rabbi, and also say that they have found the Messiah, or the Christ, which Christ is just the Latin word for Messiah. And then in the rest of the chapter, we meet some other people who say that he is the King of the Jews, and what was the other thing they said? There are seven of them, but you would expect that, wouldn't you? There are seven things. Oh yes, King of Israel, and then Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus himself at the end calls himself the Son of Man. So we find seven names there for Jesus in just that half of a chapter. And so John's asking us to go with him as he thought, what does all this mean? Now, we can easily answer the question, who is Jesus, can't we? The answer trips off the tongue, Son of God, the Messiah. We can say that very quickly. But what John's asking us to do is to go a bit deeper than that. He's asking us to say, well, if that's what Jesus is, then what does that mean? That isn't just a description. That has to mean something a lot more. And as he introduces us to all these people in his gospel, he's taking us through how they reacted and what they thought, and all the time he's asking, who do you think Jesus is? And we get so many opinions from different people. And Jesus himself introduces all these images that you're familiar with as he goes through his ministry. The bread of life, he's the vine, he's the good shepherd, he's the light of the world, he's the way, the truth, the life. All these things come out in John's Gospel. And these are not exclusive names. All these things apply. And there are many other names, of course, that we find in other parts of the Bible, but John homes in on what we think of Jesus. Now then, next please. There's a TV programme. I don't know how many of you have watched this one. I know my tastes in television are different. Hands up if you've seen this one, just so I know. Oh, still a few people who have no idea what I'm talking about here. Well, what happens on this programme is there are two teams of three people, and the bit that's the best bit is where a stranger is, well, they know who it is going to be, but a stranger to us is brought on and stands in the middle of the platform, and we're just told their first name, Linda or Cheryl or Tom or whoever it might be. And this person stands there and is not allowed to talk. And one team comes up with three stories as to who this person might be, and the other team has to guess which one is true, and the others are lies. And that's the idea of it. And they say, all these might not have come from the same program. I don't remember it in detail. It's not that good. But I think they had a young woman there, stood there, and of course she can't talk. And I think it was Claudia Winkleman said that she crashed into her car at 4 a.m. on Waitrose car park, which had no other cars. And then Joe Brand said that when this Linda or Cheryl, whoever she was a baby, Joe Brand dropped her into a pond. And then I think Izzy Sutty said that this woman and she, when they were teenagers, ate ants to attract a boy's attention. And I mean, these were probably not from the same program. But anyway, the idea is that only one of those is true, and by questioning the team members, but not the person who stood there, the other team has to decide which one's right. And of course, all these stories are fairly unbelievable, and but they have to choose one, and one is right. And the chairman of the program says, after about 10 minutes of discussion of all this, we need an answer. And I think that's rather good, because it's so easy for us these days to let all these things wash over our heads and not answer the question, isn't it? It's very much a modern tendency to say, oh, we like some bits of Jesus, we like his teaching, not sure about the miracles, and all this exclusiveness about the only way to God, we really don't like that at all. So we're going to accept some bits of Jesus, but not the other bits. And we might have a bit of Buddha as well, because he was quite good, and so on. But what John, in his gospel, of course, he didn't have the benefit of watching this program, but what John is telling us is that, just like the contestants on this program, we have to choose. It's not something that we can let drift. Some of the people in John's gospel, like Pilate being the classic example, just let it drift. They didn't come to a final conclusion. They thought there was something really powerful in the presence of Jesus, but they just could not bring themselves to make up their mind. But what John is telling us is, you have to make up your mind. Next, please, Catherine. So here's just some of the things that Jesus could have represented to John. And we've got two Johns here, so I'm glossing over that. We're just talking about Johns in general here. So was Jesus the Lamb of God? And you'll know, of course, that the Lamb represented the sacrifice made at Passover. So when John the Baptist said that Jesus was the Lamb of God, he meant that he was the one who was going to be punished for the things we'd done wrong. Was he the bread? That comes a bit later on, but Jesus there is saying to us that he is the thing that we need to keep ourselves alive. Was he Logos, the Word, as we see in the beginning of John's Gospel? Was he the Messiah, as we saw in these two disciples, Andrew and possibly John? They called him the Messiah, and they started off by calling him just Rabbi, a teacher. They took a day to make up their mind about whether he was the Messiah. Was he just a cousin of John the Baptist? Not first cousin, but a relative of John the Baptist himself. Or was he an imposter? There's always that little bit of doubt in John the Baptist's mind, and in the end he sends a message to Jesus, I think it actually comes in one of the other Gospels, but he sends a message to John, to Jesus, saying, are you the one who is to come, or do we look for another? There was just that little bit of doubt in John the Baptist's mind, because Jesus didn't quite do the things that John thought he might. So John, and John the Baptist also, have to make this choice, and they have all these things to think about, which one was the correct decision. But John the Apostle leaves us in no doubt whatsoever that he had made up his mind absolutely and without a shadow of doubt. Next, please, Catherine. So C.S. Lewis put this very well, and I gather this was called a trilemma. I've not heard of a trilemma, but there are three things, so it's not a dilemma, apparently. It's a trilemma. And this is what C.S. Lewis said, which I think is very good. And this is it. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher, he would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. So what he's saying is that if Jesus wasn't the Son of God, then he must have been some seriously deluded person or some criminal mastermind wanting to fool us all. And C.S. Lewis said that we have to make up our mind that if we're not prepared to accept all the things that Jesus said as one block, then we are making him out to be a liar in some of the things he said, and therefore that wouldn't go very well with the other things being right, would it? If he was a great moral teacher, but he told a lot of porkies, then he wouldn't be a great moral teacher, would he? And so this is the question. And next, please, Catherine. And we see here in 1 John chapter 5 that John's reached his conclusion, and he says, who is it who overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So what John's saying is, if you haven't made up your mind, you're not going to overcome the world, are you? The only way that we can face up to the world and overcome all the challenges it gives us is by believing that Jesus is the Son of God. And if we don't believe what God has told us, then we're making God out to be a liar. Because, as I said, if we don't take all of what Jesus represents, then we're saying that some of the things he said weren't true. And so we're calling God a liar. And then, he who has the Son has life. This is the way to have life as we see it in the Bible. Next, please. And so the three ways that modern people look at Jesus, I think, are these. The first is that he might be a real person, but deluded. Now, Jesus does crop up in the history books. He is attested as an actual historical person. There's not much doubt that Jesus lived. So if he was a real person, then he must have been deluded, is what some people think. He was a megalomaniac who fooled everybody. That's one thing that people believe today. Another thing is that he wasn't actually real, he's just a myth. And the stories that we have were built up by the disciples over the years in order to give credibility to this world religion they were trying to found, which, if you actually look at the details of the early church, is a very strange sort of thing to put forward, because many of them died for their faith, and many others lived in poverty and suffered for many, many years. And it's most unlikely that they would have made up all this stuff and lived and died because of it if they knew it was all rubbish. And so the third possibility is that Jesus actually is who he said he is. And that's the one that's really quite scary, isn't it? Because if Jesus actually is everything he said he is, and we've seen that he's unlikely to be half of what he said he is, he's got to be either all of it or none of it, because otherwise it would be crazy and illogical and stupid and really unacceptable. So Jesus either is who he says he is, or, well, what is he? Because the other two options don't really seem very believable either. But if, well, I know that, of course, you are with me on this one, that you have made up your minds also on this one. But it is important that we have to accept all of what Jesus said, because we can't take little bits of it here and there. I know there are some things that are hard to understand and apply to our lives. I accept that. But we have to say that Jesus is who he is and not just half of who he is. And the thing that John wants us to do as we read his gospel is to make up our minds on this one. So just like the people on that TV program, we're presented with three choices, you see, and they are exclusive of each other. You can't say two of these are true, and you can't say none of them is true. One of them is true, and two of them aren't, and there's no other way around it. And so just like Rob Brydon, the chairman on that program, says after 10 minutes, we need an answer. This is not something we can allow to drift in our lives. This is not something we can leave and not worry about and put on one side, because it's got to be answered. So next, please, Catherine. So what I'd like to leave you with is, what is your answer? I know that you are with me on this, as I said, but we still have to remember that we need to accept all of Jesus and not just a bit of him. And I find that when I hear people giving their, what we call a testimony of why they believe, this is a most powerful thing. And as we look in John's gospel, we see him doing that for himself. But I think it's great when we tell each other why and how we believe in Jesus, because that helps so many. And so I think it's only fair that I do it myself. And for me, the important thing about Jesus is that I believe him to represent the truth. He said himself that he is the truth. And I think that without the account given by Jesus, then our lives are meaningless. And it's through Jesus that we find meaning. And I believe that what he said is true. I don't believe he was deluded or a myth. I believe that he lived and still lives, and I believe that that is the basis for my life, and I hope for all of our lives, in putting our trust and faith in him. Now, how that works out in my life doesn't always go so simply, I accept, but I think that that is the basis for my belief, believing that these things in the Bible happen, that he did die and come back to life, and that he still is there, and that through him we can understand the truth about why the universe is here and why we are here and what we're supposed to be doing. And that is a great start in life, isn't it, to understand some of those things when so many around us don't understand those things and suffer from all sorts of depression and problems because they can't accept what Jesus said. Not that living the Jesus way is easy, no, but it is a start, a building block, the basis, a foundation for our lives, and that is how, according to John, we can overcome the world and how we can have life. So I'd like you to think about that question and to, over the next few days, try and make your answer want something that perhaps you could even write down and something that you can come to a firm conclusion on, because we do need an answer to this question, who is Jesus? Thank you.